Welcome back to episode 2 of the Casually Hardcore Podcast in season 2. Ooh. Last week we talked with Ryan just about the esports and on campus and all that. And now we're going to talk about an E3 recap. But to first start off, I'm Nick.
I'm Alan.
I'm Eric.
I'm Connor.
Welcome back again. So earlier in June, right?
Yeah.
June, right, we talked about E3 and the recap. We talked about a little bit how Nintendo did, Bethesda, Sony, etc.
Yeah.
Now we're in September. You know, crazy to think the summer's already came and went. And these games are launching now. I think Destiny 2 comes out this month. Exactly.
Wow.
That's exciting.
What do you think? What do you think about Destiny 2? I don't know. I'm kind of mixed feelings.
You know, I think it's an interesting concept how they're playing more to the story, it seems, as opposed to the online factor with, you know, capturing the Crucible. Was it the Crucible, right?
Yes, I think so. Oh, yeah, because
the light,
the
capturing
light.
The light, controlling the light,
mm-hmm.
and trying to come back from that. So more on the story and the lore, as opposed to the big seller, which was simply being online with dungeons.
True.
So I think it's a really interesting take. I'll be very, I'm certainly looking forward to it, but I'll be very interested to see the difference between the just focus on the online and how much lore they put into the raids and the dungeons.
Right.
Just got to get some loot.
Yeah, well, I know there was some controversy when they were kind of closing up and wrapping up the first game with the PlayStation exclusive content that came out from the first one that was released 2 years after for Xbox and PC or Xbox platforms, but the game's irrelevant at the time, so a lot of the community was pretty chipped on that part.
Yeah,
and
Well, I think that the quality of game that Destiny was at the end of its lifespan should be where Destiny 2 starts out.
Yeah,
right?
Totally agree. I think Destiny 2 should not only take on what was terrible about the first one, which was there was no story. You literally killed things for no reason because it tells you to. Honestly, it's like the darkness is coming, yet you never see the darkness. Kill these things because they're attacking you because reasons. So hopefully this kind of gives you some background on why we're killing these things for reasons.
Well, with Destiny 1, I mean, the main air quotes campaign seemed way too short. It was like you met all these enemies and then all of a sudden it was like, wait, it's over? Like that was it? What just happened? What did I just do as the, you know, protagonist?
Yeah, there
I
was really
defeated,
no sense of purpose, right?
Yeah,
right.
I defeated some, I mean at the very end it was like I defeated some wormhole traveling robots and that was it. It was over.
Yeah, and those things kind of came out of nowhere too.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was like Transformers 5.
Well, all
it was
enemies,
just a bunch of random things stitched together.
Except for like the first enemies, which, forgive me, I don't really remember the name of. Except for those first guys, all of them just kind of came out of nowhere. I can remember the big baddies on Mars.
Yeah.
The ones that were like super buff that were essentially the tanks.
The Cabal.
The Cabal, yeah. I had no idea kind of where they came from, why they were there, what was going on. They were just there, and they were these super tough enemies.
So, kind of with this, do you think you'll pick it up when it launches, or do you think it's going to be a Black Friday pickup, or do you think it's going to skip it entirely and wait till the third rendition version comes out of the DLC collected?
I think I'm going to have to wait, see a couple reviews, see what people think at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and if it's worth, you know, if it's a B+ above, I think I might get it, but only because I got burned on Destiny so bad.
Yeah.
I'll wait until Steam sale.
So next summer.
Steam sale.
Yeah, I think I'm going to wait for Black Friday.
The Steam sale on Black Friday.
Another game that should pick up where the last one left off and make some more changes. Battlefront 2 in November.
Oh, yes.
I know personally, I railed on Battlefront 1. I didn't even buy it. I never even picked it up or touched it.
I bought it. I don't think I ever win a game without having a negative KD in it. People were trash at that game.
Yeah, it was. But I know for this one, from just what I've seen,
mm-hmm.
I'm planning possibly even pre-order.
Well,
I mean, this one looks so much better than the first one. And I think it seems to have fixed all the mistakes, and it's going back to the Battlefront roots of vehicles, space battles, heroes that will absolutely wreck shop without being broken, and then increasing what was good about Battlefront 1, the graphics, the pacing, and just the sheer chaos of the map. So I think it's just going to do better. And
mm-hmm.
so, despite not even touching Battlefront 1, I think I'm going to pick up Battlefront 2, possibly a pre-order.
Ooh.
No, I agree, man. With the you know what they showed us at E3, right? The gameplay, it looked so good, man. I play a little bit of Battlefront 1, and it just it didn't feel right in a way. It felt kind of wonky. I didn't really enjoy it. But I feel like in Battlefront 2, they showed like a lot more impact in all the things that you do in the game.
Yeah,
I felt maybe Nick can help with this.
He played on and on.
Not only did he play a lot of Battlefront 1, but he's got some good opinions on it. But it felt to me, for the little bit I played on Nick's account, it felt a lot like a battlefield with a Star Wars Battlefront spray paint.
It was literally a glorified mod.
I thought it was just like Call of Duty with a Battlefront spray paint. Like, it was...
I was super happy. That was the first Star Wars game we've had in years besides Lego games. So, no hating on Lego games, but at the end of the day, I like shooting things. And in Lego games, you shoot things. It's not the same. It's not the same thing.
They
pop into Legos.
Oh, come on. It's fun.
So, besides, like, the disappointments of Force Unleashed, you know, the generation of the 360, PS3, and the Wii really didn't have anything Star Wars related. And the console generation before that had Republic Commando, the KOTOR series. You had Empire at War on the PC during that time. It was just a ton of great games. And now that was kind of the gateway into, you know, Star Wars games as a whole.
Yeah, but
now,
even then, the... only real, I mean, I'm going to count Heroes in this because the heroes look amazing. And there appears to be, I'm assuming that there's not just Rey and Yoda and there's not just Maul and Kylo.
Well,
I'm assuming that they're going to have a lot more than
there is a lot more. And we don't want to put spoilers into it if you haven't really watched anything or the content-wise. So obviously there's trailers online. There's a ton of information out there. If you want to look more into what's coming, go ahead and look online. But for me personally, I've kind of stayed away from a lot of content. For right now, just because I want to be surprised at what's in there. I've seen the main trailers. I've seen what they've added. They added the prequels in. They've added in the sequel era, now they're dubbing it, right?
They're having a kind of pseudo-storyline with that Special Forces team.
Yeah, very cool.
I got a question, though.
Yeah.
In Battlefield, Star Wars Battlefront 1.
Battlefront.
Right. Could you play as droids?
Not in the first one. No. The originals, yes. The originals you could play right away out of the gate, because obviously the sequel era wasn't even a thing at that point. It was clones, droids, the Rebels, and the Empire. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the staple, was the two eras. And what the big issue was with the reboot was not only with the name, first off, but they completely wiped out the prequel era. Now, I know it's a love-hate relationship on the prequels. People really hate it. I grew up on the prequels, so I loved it at first, but I watched it. I'm like, well, now I know why these are terrible.
Well,
but
something else with the prequels in the game. Sorry, I feel like I'm constantly cutting people off.
He is.
How dare you?
You are cutting people off, man.
But
it's all right. It's the Eric Dunn thing to do.
The thing with the prequel era that I think does really, really well in video games is the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
Don't focus on Anakin and pod racing and
bleep that out.
On,
so
on Jar Jar, don't focus on like the characters, but the actual Clone Wars, the action. I mean, the lore in the Clone Wars is pretty heavy and pretty chaotic, and I think that translates really, really well into both the Star Wars universe and into video games. Mm. So most people hate the prequels for the movies, and that's not what you're gonna. I don't think that's what you're gonna get in Battlefront 2. You're gonna get the Clone Wars aspect.
Yeah.
You're gonna get that nitty gritty war front.
Now I'm gonna cut you off. It's my turn to cut you off now. I'm the captain now.
We're still using that.
But yeah, apparently so. Until it goes out of trend, which it never will, because it's an awesome movie. Either way,
it's a great movie.
We're not talking about movies.
The prequels story was terrible, but the scenes, the scenery, the weapons, the armor, etc., are top tier.
I especially like the droids.
The droids are really cool.
I love the droids in Star Wars.
And if you're a Clone Wars TV fan, they brought back the Clone Wars TV voice actors for it. So Darth Maul is the guy saying Darth Maul. The droids are the same droids, clones, etc. So wrapping up Battlefront, because I think we could dedicate an episode to this.
Probably.
I think we just might. Honestly, I think Battlefront 2 will be mentioned in every episode alongside Overwatch come this season once again. But kind of going around from Alan down, will you pick this game up on launch day? Or have you already pre-ordered it already? So you already picked it up already.
Okay, never pre-order. Never. As we've seen with a couple games in the past, I don't think...
No Man's Sky!
Yeah. What was that? A mistake?
Yeah, a mistake? Yeah, that's putting it nicely.
Original Battlefront.
But no, I think I'll wait, too.
Okay.
But I'm probably going to get it. Most likely. It looks really good.
I have both versions pre-ordered for PS4 and Xbox, both Elite Deluxe Editions. Wow. So
really sinking your money there.
I'm sinking my teeth into this game.
Gotta,
this is a financial investment.
You got to diversify. And I'm sinking into one.
Yeah, I'm going to buy all the microtransactions for skins. Like, this game is going to be my baby. It's going to ruin me. Yep.
As long as Jar Jar Binks is the main player, then
let's go. What if that's a pre-order bonus?
Pre-order bonus, kill Jar Jar.
Misa!
Misa Jar Jar Binks.
That'd be hilarious. Misa, I think the main character should totally do it, man.
We the Battlefield 3, like, you know, like the low, like the orange and gray shoulder? It's like Jar Jar Binks is on there.
Wait. What if they took the meme of Jar Jar Binks being a Sith Lord, right?
Oh my god. And actually
put it in the game. I think that'd be hilarious.
It's like Easter egg?
Yeah. At the very end of the game, just Jar Jar in the hood. Misa planned it the whole time.
Snoke is Jar Jar.
All right, Eric, what about you?
I think I am going to pre-order this one. I normally go for the don't pre-order at all. Mm. But, I mean, I just want to hit this one. I just want to hit this one the ground running. Wow. I want to hit the ground running with this one. I think it's going to be everything we wanted the first one to be and more.
Well, Connor, having you back on the show again has been great. So how about we ask you, what E3 game are you going to pick up? Are you really interested in looking at right now? Because you just covered Battlefront.
What E3 game? Let me think. I mean, definitely Battlefront. Like, it actually looks pretty good, so I'll probably be picking that one up. I don't know. I'm kind of on a closed budget right now, so...
Yeah, I agree.
If I come into some money, I'll start shelling
out. Our pockets are pretty broke from the Steam sale that happened recently.
Steam sale.
Is Assassin's Origins coming out soon?
Oh, it is. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Is Assassin's Creed Origins
Xbox One? I haven't bought an Assassin's Creed game since Black Flag.
That was the last one you should buy.
Yeah, that was the best one.
I mean, what
did I just say that?
What do you guys think about Origins, though?
I'm pumped.
Really?
I get to wall climb pyramids. So instead of being straight buildings, it's pyramid buildings.
Slightly angled buildings.
So you get to run, basically.
Yeah.
Well, and also, it's something that people have been looking for a long time, going back to the roots of Assassin's Creed to the Middle East, to the Crusades where it began, and back to the, you know, bows and arrows as opposed to guns and rifles, and all that stuff. And I think it's going to be great because Origins, it's going to tell us how this whole thing began.
Right.
Hopefully.
True.
If it doesn't, I will be very disappointed.
They're going to be like, hey, 5 more games later, we're rebooting the series once again. We're doing pre-Origins Assassin's Creed.
Pre-Origins. Oh, my God.
But no, Assassin's Creed always is a soft spot in my heart. I got a little franchise fatigue myself, but actually just downloaded Syndicate, so I'll be playing that for a little bit before I go into Origins. But yeah, I think Assassin's Creed will be a hit, especially with Xbox One X kind of promoting it as like the kind of the game to play on it with the new specs, as long as Crackdown 3 as well. But we'll see. I don't know. I got to watch a little bit more trailers on it. I want to see some reviews before. Obviously, Ubisoft's very good on getting people in to kind of review the game before. They're not very anti-review like Bethesda. But,
oh,
you know.
Bethesda.
But then again, oh, how about that? Skyrim VR is coming out here shortly.
Look.
Skyrim never dies.
Why?
Reskin. Not even reskinning.
I'm so mad. I don't want the same game like 6 times over.
Well, I mean... How long did it take them to release Skyrim since
It's like the
Oblivion,
cow's been dead, but they're still milking.
No, Oblivion and Skyrim both came out on the same console generation. I will be very surprised if we don't get a third iteration of Skyrim before the next Elder Scrolls games comes out. So,
well, and they're still...
Super-duper enhanced edition.
In fairness to them, though, they still are making a lot with Elder Scrolls Online. I mean, Morrowind's been out for, you know... a couple months now.
Yeah, I was about to say,
and
didn't
it's
one?
Yeah, but
I mean,
that...
I started playing it over the summer, and it was one of the like most addictive games I've played because I started out and I was like, okay, this is just Skyrim, whatever. I'll grind through the tutorial and see what I think. I haven't been able to put it down.
Yeah.
And so they can just get away with rehashing Skyrim because Elder Scrolls Online seems to be doing so well.
Well, I mean, even in E3, they're like, the Skyrim expansion pack for trading card game, Skyrim VR, Skyrim for Switch. Skyrim is a legacy game now at this point. But, I mean, they just released last year.
By the 10-year anniversary of Skyrim.
Skyrim. We added in more DLC to Skyrim. Or, like, well, they had paid DLC to Skyrim now, too.
Yeah, paid DLC.
Yeah, they're actually adding more content to Skyrim. Okay, yeah, enough of Skyrim, but I agree.
The one thing I want to point in is, I mean, I had the original Skyrim, honestly, and they gave me the free, like, special edition where they, like, enhanced the graphics or whatever they did.
Yeah.
They didn't do crap. I got on there. I was looking. There was, like, glitches still everywhere.
Yeah,
and there was,
they
like,
didn't fix the glitches. They fixed the aesthetic.
They took
there was they
mods
didn't even fix
and sold
the
them.
Aesthetics.
No, they took mods that were free and sold them to console peasants like myself that see Skyrim more pretty. And I'm like, ooh, $40, cha-ching, here you go. So,
go skiing.
Yeah, but Bethesda, though, Wolfenstein 2
looks really good.
Looks really
yes.
good.
Looks very good.
They actually had a Steam sale for like all the Wolfenstein games. I picked them all up for like $4.
Jeez.
I was like, no way.
They're good, though. I mean, because I know Jacob, your roommate, was playing
yeah,
it one time.
Yeah, exactly. That's when we got him.
Yeah.
And he was playing.
And their New Blood was fantastic. The expansion, or the standalone expansion. So I'm really excited to see how they take this series. I think this is probably one of their better reboots alongside Doom and kind of those classic games. But what's not looking so great, personally, on my taste, is Quake. I think Quake's dead. I think, I don't know. I mean, maybe you guys don't think so. It's just me. I don't know.
I think there's definitely that nostalgia piece to it. And that not only nostalgia, but also the historical piece.
True.
Well, I mean, I've seen a lot of reviews online about Quake Champions, and the old Quake community doesn't really seem to like it as much as the original.
Well, it's very esports-centric.
Yeah.
And it's not Quake-centric, if that makes sense. It's catering to a crowd that wasn't there originally instead of catering. Like, so every Doom reboot or every, you know, Wolfenstein, they cater to the original, you know, buyers and core franchise, and those are the people that came and bought it, and then they spread the word, and it went like wildfire. This time around, they're not targeting Quake fans. They're targeting Overwatch or Team Fortress, you know, very hero-based shooters. And this is already a crowded market. And I'm sorry, Overwatch kind of killed anybody else coming into it. Paladin, if you guys have tried that out, the free-to-play
version.
Yeah,
it's free-to-play.
Is dominating the free-to-play space, and Overwatch is dominating
the
pay-to-play space. And honestly, at this point, it's kind of MOBAs. People are just trying to throw their IPs all on the board, and it's just not working out. That's kind of what I think about
that game. Yeah, it's the market that blew up. And so everyone's trying to throw something at the wall when they didn't have the foresight that's like Blizzard did with it.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know.
Yeah, I said this.
This is our own homemade sound effects, by the way.
This is our soundboard, our voices.
Yeah, our own personal soundboard.
I said this the last time we recorded about E3, but I think that companies pandering to esports and VR. Mm-hmm. Are very, very bad.
Oh, I know what the next topic is after this.
Because I don't think that companies know how to do esports well.
I agree. I think esports does games well. They adapt to the community. Like, so like Fighters, for instance, the esports community takes it and runs with it, and then the developers cater to what's been established by the community versus the developers so far have said, hey, this is my esport, you come to me, play, and I'll censor it. It's like, no, it doesn't work that way. I mean, typical generics or like typical sports have those kind of rule sets and all that, but it's evolved over time and it's different. Esports is an entirely different beast. You can't take something that's already been established and try to just throw it into games.
Well, yeah, something that Ryan said in the first episode that I kind of thought was, I didn't really say it, but, you know, it seems to me like esports takes the game other than the game being for esports. Like, League of Legends wasn't designed to be a competitive sport, but the right kind of gamers found it.
Right.
And then it just got huge. And now there's games like, you know, like we were talking about that just have certain elements that make them competitive, but that's not what the game is centered around. The game is centered around something else, but there's a mechanic off of that reason that makes it competitive, and then the players make it competitive. It seems to me you shouldn't go into a game thinking this is going to be competitive.
Yeah. Right. You got to
Because something's not going to be right. The players aren't going to like something. You're going to try and maybe it's going to be too similar to something else.
Very true.
That already has a competitive scene, you know? And so that I think is going to be the ultimate downfall is that if something is designed competitive, gamers are going to find more flaws with it than if it's something the gamers brought up themselves.
I totally agree. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head, especially last episode too. Gamers create the community. Obviously, the developers create the game, and they want us to play it, but we are the players.
Yeah.
We are what breathe life into a game. And these games nowadays are very service type. So what that kind of means for people that don't know what that kind of that definition is, I'll use Gears of War as an example because I love Gears of War. Gears of War typically was 4 DLC expansion packs, done, boom, shipped, ready to go. That's it. That's your multiplayer experience. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, it's turned into weekly events, weekend events, more DLC content. It's constantly updated. Or like Overwatch.
Yeah.
There's constant maps, constant play, or constant characters added.
Well, that's because it keeps the experience new and refreshing.
Right, and it keeps everybody engaged. Yeah, yes. And it keeps
people
coming back.
It's got that retention value. Agreed. Instead of like... But you see, I'm gonna do a counterexample, right?
Yeah.
Melee is a what? 15-year-old game.
True.
No updates, nothing. People still come back to it.
Still classic.
Yeah.
Still
love
it.
Because of the competitive scene that they've made, and it's things that are within the game itself and haven't been changed before, but are being discovered and found.
Yeah.
That keep things interesting.
Right. Well, I'm gonna actually, holy crap! Surprise twist! I'm gonna bash on Overwatch real quick.
Let's go.
So wow. With this last event, the anniversary event, I felt like...
Well, no, the last event was the Summer Games event.
Yeah.
The one before that was the anniversary.
I didn't play Summer Games that much.
So the last event that you played, sorry.
The last event
Eric
played.
This Eric's view is everyone's view.
Well, it left such a bad taste.
The world
doesn't
revolve around you, Eric.
Okay.
It left
the world
such a bad
Eric.
Taste in my mouth that I just didn't even play the new one because there was so much just... I don't want to say garbage that was released, but I mean... Dance emotes, they're fun, but that's not what I'm playing.
Hey,
I'm playing for the new experiences.
Bastion is adorable with his dance emote.
Adorable, yes.
It's adorable.
Doesn't, it doesn't affect the gameplay.
But
and
here's
all they did...
It's just cute.
Normally in big events like this, they add new maps. They add a new game style. All they did was rehash... You know, the 3v3 elimination.
But
and
that's the charm of it, though. It was an anniversary event. What was the core principle of Overwatch and said, hey, this is a celebration of all the old content we did. Here, have fun.
But
to help you out, though, the loot boxes since that event...
They have changed.
They have changed.
Yeah. No more duplicates,
Duplicates have been drastically reduced.
Okay.
And if you do... It's actually rarer now to get a duplicate. And if you do get a duplicate, the payment of coins is doubled or tripled, I think.
So that's good, but it seems to almost counterbalance the just sea of stuff they've added. I mean, they added more sprays. They added more skins. They added more hero icons. They added more legends. I mean, there's just more stuff. And that's not what I want. I want a new map. I want a new game experience.
Yeah.
And it seems a little bit... I get that they were trying to...
Well, I mean, they kind of added the full... You know how they were 3v3 elimination matches, right?
Yeah.
They made a full team of that.
Yeah,
thing,
and
that, I don't think it's balanced well, though.
It isn't balanced well, and it's just a rehash of the 3v3. For the...
Right.
I'm going to go all the way back to the winter... era, where they added the snowball match. That was unique. That was fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. And then the events after that, they started adding in the new maps of Oasis, of Antarctica.
Lunar was a cool map that they added, though.
Lunar was a cool map, but it wasn't... I don't feel like I experienced it. I played a bunch of games, and I played on Lunar a handful of times. And... I feel like they should have had it more. And it feels like for that little while, they were just pandering to buy more loot boxes for just that brief little bit rather than let's celebrate the game.
Well, that's currently the downfall of developers kind of figuring out this new era of servicing platforms. You have games that, like Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered, that added in DLC boxes. So for whenever a new season of content came out, they had a loot box specifically designated to those items. You have games like Overwatch that just throw it all together, or like Halo 5 that threw it all together. So they're still trying to figure out what works. Currently, what developers know works is free maps, free content, keeps the community coming back regardless if they get all the content or not.
And then paid cosmetics.
And then paid cosmetics supports it. And then on top of that, if say I'm invested in this game, say I bought it and I love it, I would like to pour my money into it because I want more content. And so that kind of helps. But we could bash about Overwatch this stuff all day.
But if it goes to a pay-to-win type point, screw that.
Exactly. Like,
I hate that so
much.
Yeah,
and like
I feel like pay-to-win has been pretty phased out.
There's
still some bad cases, but I feel like for the most part, pay-to-win is...
So let's tie it all back into E3 again. Yeah. This is totally off topic right now. So going back into competitive, at least, Call of Duty World War III or World War II. World War III came out. Modern Warfare 3.
Are you living in the future?
By the way, guys, this is not actually episode 2. This is like episode 202. We're main chicory. No, World War II. It looks really great from what I've seen. What about you guys? What do you think about this game? Is that the Call of Duty that's going to bring you back into it again?
I've been playing, still playing COD. BO3. I don't know why, but you know, I still just go back to it. But I saw some gameplay of it actually, like the other day. It looked pretty good. No jetpack, so.
That's gonna be their selling point. No jetpacks. Yeah. No wall running.
On the box. IGN 9 out of 10. No jetpacks.
I'm currently afraid though. I'm gonna jump into a day one. I think I'm gonna do again like I did with Battlefront, like the super DLC Uber Duber pack. But I'm afraid they're gonna keep it generic like they did with Modern Warfare Remastered, and then they're gonna throw in pink weapon camos, and you're gonna have purpley heart skins, or you're gonna have all this other crap.
Storming D-Day beach with a smiley face on your gun.
You're gonna have Snoop Dogg gonna be one of the announcers.
Did you know that there was a guy that fought in World War II with a sword and a bow?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
Interesting.
But that's real. That wasn't a game again. Yeah, someone actually did that.
I wish they put that. Good in the for game. Him. That'd they be might. Dope. That'd be dope.
No, they're gonna add like a rubber ducky as like a weapon to just whack people around with a duck.
I think I'm looking forward to it because it's Call of Duty going back to the roots of Call of Duty. I feel like maybe this is kind of a weird time of the sequels going back to the roots. Battlefront 2 going back to the roots of Battlefront. Call of Duty World War 2 going back to the roots of Call of Duty.
I agree.
And I can see it going very, very well. And I don't really see a whole lot of room for, not a whole lot of room for error, but a whole lot of chance of error, which I like.
It's Activision. There's always error, man. What's not to be wrong with Activision?
In terms of content.
Well, I mean, Activision so far has screwed over every franchise they currently own. Yep. Call of Duty gets rehashed over and over and over again, but people like me that complain about it continually buy their products, so I'm not helping it at all.
Yeah, but like, why? Is it because you hope they're going to change something and make it better?
Yeah, it's the hope. I see everything. I know it's not... Okay, actually, no. Take that back. Last year, I bought COD 4 Remastered, and then they just bent me over afterwards because they added in the DLC stuff. I think $15 for a remastered 9-year-old DLC? Like, are you kidding me? I mean, but I feel like what they're trying to do now is appeal towards the nostalgia of the older games because they're getting... Other games are taking that market share from them now.
Well,
and they're feeling it. People biting at their heel a little bit now.
And something else is I feel like the hope is finally justified this time because the last games they did were pseudo-futuristic. And now they're going all the way back to the beginning of Call of Duty.
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to switch off Call of Duty for a second.
Go right ahead, man.
I want to talk about another game that I'm really excited for, actually.
I think I know what this
is. Marvel?
No, it's not Marvel. It's Odyssey.
Oh.
It's Odyssey.
Oh, Mario Odyssey. Yeah.
What did you guys think about that?
Well, actually, I got to demo the game a little bit.
Really?
No way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. It's a lot of fun. It was really, really cool.
It's so funny. You're just like this little like animated little guy running around a city, and there's just real people walking everywhere. It's just
dude, the hat with so the dinosaur. Funny. You throw your hat on a frog, and you become the frog.
You literally infect things, and you make you forcefully grow a mustache.
You're like a parasite host. You're just latching onto a frog.
So you are Nintendo. You throw your label on it, and suddenly,
shots,
dude.
You infect Nintendo with the mustache.
let's
go with the Switch now, because Switch is having a ton of great games coming out.
Effectively. Can I just say?
Yeah.
Something that I know I haven't done a whole lot of research on, but something that's really looked forward to.
Dark Souls.
Metroid Prime 4.
The 4. They just showed a 4, and everybody lost their mind.
I lost my mind. I had to work the E3 activation at my internship this summer, and when they dropped it in the conference room, I screamed a little bit. And they all kind of looked at me like, what are you doing? And I'm just like,
You don't get it.
Someone's excited.
I love Metroid Prime. I played the first two on the GameCube. I didn't play the Wii version because the Wii disappointed me on so many levels. But I'm excited for Prime. Samus is coming back. They also announced...
There was a DS version, right?
Yeah, that comes out this month, really? In September. It is the Metroid Metroid 2 remake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And actually,
it looks really good.
It looks super. Well, they shut down the fan-made project.
Yeah.
A couple months back.
And people were like, oh, Nintendo, what are you doing? You're not going to do this.
And then they're like, well, bam, here's our remake. Screw you.
Basically, with Nintendo, it was the penultimate example of, oh, you won't do it. Oh, I won't. Watch me.
Watch me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and then they also announced that Pokken Tournament DX, I know you like fighters.
Yeah.
That's going to get a reintroduction of it. I feel like the Wii U owners kind of get a little jib because they literally got the test version with no updates. I'm trying to think what else comes out.
I mean, okay, I'm gonna say this.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about Pokemon Tournament personally as a fighting game.
Yeah.
It's weird because it's got two phases, right? It's like the weird open world phase sort of thing, and then like the 2D fighter phase.
It's made by the Tekken guy.
Yeah, it's made by Tekken.
Yeah.
But it's really different from any other fighter in that sense.
Yeah.
And did you see the competition between the two teams?
Yes.
Yeah.
Here's what you're talking
about. If you saw it, like with the YouTubers and the actual professional gamers, it was really weird because I don't wanna harp on anybody, but this YouTuber MatPat, if you know him, he kept spamming the same moves, and like he had a decent strategy, but he beat people who I think were kind of outplaying him a couple times. He did pretty well, but if the level to entry isn't that high.
True.
Right?
Okay. I think that's what Nintendo goes for, because ARMS came out and that was not as competitive now. It looks good, but
did you see the developer play, man?
Yeah, that's true. I take that back. I think ARMS is definitely the higher competitive version for this year, while Pokken is Pokemon with Pikachu fighting Charizard, and that's kind of like, that's like the fun aspect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think this will all become irrelevant because Smash Bros. Is going to come out eventually.
No.
It's going to happen. I know it is.
They burned me so bad. Everybody was in the chat. I saw Twitch chat going off. When's Melee? When's the remake? And then they were like, they said you can do Melee things. Chat went off. But they didn't give us any of that. It's okay. I do want another Smash.
Yeah.
But I'm hopeful because they didn't announce a port to Switch, right?
Not yet.
True.
I think if they were to announce a port, ARMS, Pokken, and the Ultra Street Fighter 2 would have been crushed. Because all of us we love Nintendo consoles for fighters, pretty much because of Smash, in a sense.
Well,
and I think Smash Bros. Would have overshadowed all of
those. That could be a very strong and very sound business technique, though, because they're going to release these ones in place of Smash. And then once you have all of them, then they're going to release Smash. They can get you four games instead of just Smash.
But I'm okay with all of that. I'm okay with all of that. Those are some great games. But I think Fire Emblem Warriors comes out too, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and then Mario Odyssey, obviously talked about that. What else comes out that's really, really good?
Oh, something that I'm actually really excited for.
Yeah.
It's not a game, but it's a move. Is
a what?
Battleground. Players Battleground for 2 Xbox.
That is a game.
It's
free.
Oh, yeah.
Not free, I'm sorry. It's moving console.
It's going from PC to Xbox on that.
Yeah, yeah, I played.
Well, it's already out already.
Yeah,
at this point.
I play PC. I played on PC. I won my third game.
Ooh.
I know, so I was pretty happy with that. I played that all summer.
PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is the pinnacle of Battle Royale.
It's the H1 killer.
Yeah, well, it is, because H1 screwed up, because not only did they get kind of jibbed by Sony when they had to turn into Daybreak, if you guys remember all that.
Yeah.
They're Sony Online Entertainment Studios, I think.
Yeah.
And they also had PlanetSide and all that, so they kind of got, their funding got cut. I feel bad for those guys. I think H1Z1 really had the potential to be something special.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Obviously, what was the first one? The Arma mod? DayZ? That's irrelevant now. I mean, they're never going to finish that game. But I think what Player Battleground did is...
It took everything they did right?
Exactly.
And then they just...
And then just maxed it. Like,
yeah,
they
exactly.
nailed it, man.
They nailed it, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean for me, I don't have an Xbox, never have, and my budget is a little tighter. I want to get an Xbox now more than ever because of this one game. I mean, granted, there's a bunch of other games I want for it, but...
Right.
Just get it on PC.
PC, bro.
Well, he doesn't have a PC to play.
I don't have a PC to play it on either.
Yeah. My game PC.
That's a tough life right there.
Yeah.
I've been PlayStation since the 2, and that's been it.
I think Microsoft picking that up was a good kind of win for them, considering Sony is destroying them on every front. So whatever Microsoft can get in any multiplayer front, I think is kind of perfect. I think Xbox is slowly kind of defining itself as the multiplayer experience.
What was it? I think Microsoft's coming out with Ori, right?
Yeah, the sequel actually comes out this year. It's Will-O-Wisps. Yep.
It looks really good.
Well, do you guys remember watching E3 when they had the Lucky's Tale? And I'm like, oh, this is Conker.
Yeah,
and
it's basically like,
oh,
Conker.
Oh, what is this? This is not Banjo or Conker. This is a furry. Great.
So another we know one. What their market is going to be.
Exactly. So I'm really excited for what's coming out. Like, I'm really pumped. Yeah. I think this E3 and Gamescom and everything else that was shown off really kind of defined what 2017 is going to be. I think 2018 also is going to be great, too.
I think 2018 is going to be better, honestly.
Well, they got Red Dead 2 in that.
Yeah.
And I think.
And they have probably The Last of Us 2, probably, too.
Hopefully. Well, they didn't show it off at E3, so I'm curious to see what's kind of going on with Last of Us
currently. It's also God of War.
2018 as well.
Yeah.
I got it. And well, Sony's conference and everything they've been posting so far has been content geared to 2018. I think this year is for Xbox and Switch because you have that Xbox One X launching and everything else. Sony next year is going to kill it.
But Nintendo's also got some good franchises for next year, which is like
Metroid Prime 4. Metroid Prime they also 4. Announced recently that Pokemon is supposed to be a target in 2018 well.
Did you hear what they said something, a little blurb. They said that they wanted to make a, what's it called? The Pokemon RPG, but like, the developer of Pokemon, right?
Yeah.
He stated that a development of, like, an RPG Pokemon game was in the works.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. That core
that
game
really,
is good. So, and
really
also,
fun.
Every generation, they get a remake. So, that means Diamond and Pearl's going to get a remake for Switch, too. So, I don't know. We'll see how that all goes. But time's kind of cutting short here. So, we always got to do our final and last segment. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Cheap games for the college budget. So, basically, I think we should tie this into what's coming up. Or what's been released over the summer, I think, now, that I played a lot, or anyone else played a lot, that's relatively cheap. I know we obviously missed a ton of the sales already.
Yeah.
But I think anybody listening to our podcast didn't really miss it. They kind of already got what they wanted to, I feel, at this point. But what kind of games do you recommend for people going forward that's coming out right now?
Personally, I think PUBG. PUBG is maybe not that cheap, but it's a really good game, good experience, and there's this weird retention kind of thing where it's like 50% luck, 50% skill.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, oh, yeah. I think
5% pleasure, 50% pain,
100% reason to play the game.
Oh, got him.
Honestly, greatest game. They log in, you just hear people spamming the likes. China number one.
Just literally the whole game.
If you're kind of going off of Sony, Crash Bandicoot came out in June.
Yeah.
That game was phenomenal. I recommend to grab it. If you were a Crash Bandicoot fan and you want a Spyro game, there's rumors about that coming up. I suggest you buy the Crash game.
Spyro for years.
And so I'm just saying, go buy Crash. It was a budget title. I think nowadays it's probably 25 or 30, a bunch of deals. Go and grab it. It's a lot of fun. It's 3 games. That's my recommendation.
Hmm. What about you?
What about you, Gingy?
His
hair is ginger, by the way, if you don't.
Really?
It's pretty red.
All right. Maybe it is. Who knows?
It's the shadows.
Yeah.
Well, if we could see it.
Yeah, let's see. Cheap games. Let's see. I mean, if you have Steam, really, just wait. Just wait every weekend. They
Steam.
Always have stuff.
Go get Steam.
Steam. That's all you need. But let's see. I picked up all the Wolfenstein games for, again, like $4, so that was pretty good.
Yeah, so I think maybe look out for a lot of sequels are coming out. Probably, I guarantee, a lot of the first iterations are probably going to be cheap.
Yeah,
so, like, Battlefront 1, Destiny 1, even though I don't really recommend playing it. But if you want to figure out what the story went for either of those two, go right ahead. But, yeah, Steam.
Read the Wikipedia.
Or watch one YouTube video of Luke Skywalker being trampled by a walker. That really sums up Battlefront in a nutshell. Eric, what about you, man?
I mean, like I said, I'm definitely looking out for Battlefront 2, but in terms of what's already out, it's been out for a while, but I got a lot of fun out of Injustice 2.
Oh,
that
you're right.
That one was a lot of fun.
And the DLC characters are still
also
coming.
The Final Fantasy 12 remake.
All right. Yep.
That one's pretty solid. I like that one.
Well, of course you like Final Fantasy. Remember Final Fantasy Fishing?
Oh, no. We're not going to give you a new game.
Well,
we're going to give you
totally
next true. Level.
Yeah. Well, they showed that off. I'm like, oh, great. They can fish. It's like, what's the next thing? They're still fishing.
So
sorry. Back to the phone.
No, so I'd say Injustice 2 gave me a lot of fun, and that's actually a game that I didn't feel bad about putting some money into for Darkseid. because I have the DC nostalgia. I love the comics. I love all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's great if you love that. If you love fighters, it's great for that. If you love a great storyline, it's good for that. And Final Fantasy XII, it's a great game already, and they just kind of made it run smoother.
Well, I think kind of wrapping everything up here, I think E3, again, was pretty fantastic. Obviously, if you want to listen to more of a recap on that, we have the Gaming with the Bros episode early in the summer if you listen to our show there. But episode 3 coming up, it's going to be very interesting. Every episode's very interesting,
right?
We still
don't know what we're going to talk about.
We don't even know what we're going to talk about. It's all going to be a mystery until I announce it on our Facebook page. So kind of going into that, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, we all have pages launched and live. We do constant updates, some photos here and there. Yep. Kind of get some interaction. Like our main goal at this podcast is to reach the community. Like when we had our first episode with the esports team, we want to incorporate the gaming community across our campus, but in a whole, we wanted to be engaging across everything. And we all love games. That's what we're doing. This is a passion of ours. And we want you to be involved with us as well. That's a great platform for us to communicate with you. So with polls and voting, give us some feedback. If you want an episode, comment. If you didn't like something, comment. If you really like something, comment. Again,
if you want us to stop, comment.
Don't comment that. Please don't make
me
cry.
We won't listen.
My heart will hurt if you say that. Personal note. But I will be very sad if you say stop. This is terrible. I will be like, okay, all right. Well, they have spoken. But we have platforms to be engaging with us. Obviously, again, we're on SoundCloud, YouTube, FeedBurner. This season with the help of KUST Radio, which have been great partners with us. They really have elevated us to this position now, and they'll help us get on iTunes, I believe, as well. And really? I think kind of a little shout out to KUST. We'll be on the radio station too. All the episodes that we air on there is going to be through their channel, and listen to their creators as well. Everybody in this studio across the board kind of puts all of all of their hearts and passion into what they do.
Yeah.
And I think if you gave us a chance, give them a chance, because we kind of bounce off each other too. Any final notes though before we close up this episode?
Well,
like, comment, and subscribe.
Like, comment, and subscribe, please.
Well, I mean, like, I definitely want the community to, like, engage with us and tell us what they want us to talk about.
Yep.
A lot.
Makes my life easier.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
If you give us a topic, we don't have to sit in a room for a couple minutes wondering, 2 hours, wondering,
what are we going to talk about?
What are we going to talk about?
Right. And kind of go off, obviously, if you listen to our previous episodes of Game with the Bros, Joe's no longer with us currently. If you didn't really notice, Connor is the interim replacement currently. Let us know what you think about him. Should we keep him? Should we throw him off the bridge? No, I'm kidding. But we're going to have a lot of guest stars. Connor's been... I think he's going to be one of our next 4 main show hosts. Yeah. Okay. He wants to be engaged with that. And I think kind of going from here, it's going to be fun. We're going to have a lot of interesting episodes, interesting guests. We know that we're going to get Sal on here as well.
Oh, yeah.
The gaming professor on campus. So obviously recommend who you want us to talk with. If yourself is one of that, recommend yourself. But
call in for
if you
show.
Recommend yourself, give us some way to contact you.
Exactly. Yeah, DM us. Put me in the DMs. Slide in the DMs. But kind of wrapping this up, talking about it, thanks again for listening to episode 2 of season 2. And thanks again for joining us again for season 2. I know our audience is growing, and we're going to grow with you. I'm Nick.
I'm Alan.
I'm Connor.
And I'm Eric.
And thanks for listening to the Casually Hardcore Podcast. See you next time.